Shalom, this is Joel and
Daniel
Young with For His Glory Ministry. We welcome you today and we're teaching on a topic called Resist Not Evil. It's in your Bible. It's a topic area that's been covered to some extent, but we're going to go into it in much greater depth and help give you the Jewish background so you can see this through Hebrew eyes. We're going to help place you back in the time period of Yeshua, which is Hebrew for Jesus, so you can hear the words of Jesus as any other first century Jew would have heard it, understand it in the time and the culture and the language of the people there, because people, let's be honest, we're 2,000 years away and going back to the time of Moses, nearly 4,000 years away. If any of you, quote, played the game of telephone, you know, sometimes information is changed or not meaning to, but lost along the way. And sometimes the message you gave to your daughter, by the time it gets to her, she's meeting you somewhere else. So you have to go back to the culture, the language, and the original intent of the authors and see what God has given them, these timeless truths impacted in a culture, so you can put yourself in the footsteps of the Messiah. All right? Okay, let's begin. You'll open your Bibles, please, to Matthew. That's in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 5, 38 and 39a. When I say A, that means just the first part of the verse. All right? Now, quoting, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, do not resist him who is evil." And it continues. That's the part we're going to focus on today. Now, I based my work primarily on a very good scholar named David Bivin. He's with the Jerusalem School of Synoptic Research, and I've checked out his work, because God enjoins all of us in Acts 17:11 to be good Bereans. Do you know what a good Berean is?
What is a good Berean?
A good Berean back in Acts 17:11 would be someone when Paul was teaching to the people of Thessalonica. They listened to him, and then he went next to go to the people of Berea, and they listened to him. They received the word of God eagerly from a great apostle, a chief apostle. I mean, he was just top-notch. They listened to him, but they went home to search the scriptures to see if it was so, and God was pleased with them, more so than the people of Thessalonica, where Paul was before, because, you know why? Because they went home to search the scriptures to see if it was so. They checked it out themselves. We have three levels of relationship, us and God, us and ourselves, and us and others. God wants us to make sure our vertical relationship is first established, right? So we have to check everything out ourselves first. All right, so I checked out this gentleman's research too, and then I agree with it, and then I'm going to go further and develop his teaching. Now, what I'd like to do is, let's go back to that. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you, do not resist him who is evil. Now, if you go to Exodus, all right, that's in the beginning of your Bible, Exodus chapter 21, verses 24 and 25. Let's see where this comes from, because this is something that Jesus is quoting himself. 24 and 25. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, hand for a hand, foot for a foot, burn for a burn, wound for a wound, bruise for a bruise. What does that sound like to you? Sounds like it's equal, right?
Right,
eye for
an eye
and a tooth for a tooth, right? Now, let's explain how this means. This deals with the bottom line is equal measures. Doesn't say eye for a foot or foot for a wound. Eye for an
eye
and a foot for a
foot
and a hand for a
hand
and a bruise for a
bruise.
Exactly. Those are, this proper understanding is equal measures. All right. So the purpose is to set the course for evaluating damages. Now, the next question we have to say, who is being spoken to in Exodus? It's given to those who are judicially empowered. These are the judges. These are the people who are going to pass judgment in the book of Exodus, and they're being told how to judge. All right? Mm-hmm. Now, who is setting the standards? God. God sets the standards. God sets the parameters. God sets the balance. All right. Now, why is that being told in the first place? Why is there a necessity to teach people, especially here the judges, how to judicially adjudicate cases in such a way that it's going to be equal? Well, if you go back to feudal times, you'll find that man had at times like our common historical feuds. Let's say someone attacked or murdered a family member. The result of that would often cause the other party to go out, attack and attack and attack. Unfortunately, if someone kills someone's brother, they might go and not only kill their brother, they might kill
the whole family.
Exactly. And that might not even stop. They just keep going, 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 wiping out, like you said, Danielle, even whole families at times. Now, that practice is wrong, and it's over. So God is setting the standard down. What was it? An eye for?
An eye.
And a tooth for?
A tooth.
And a hand for?
A hand.
And a foot for?
A foot.
Exactly. And like measure in Exodus 21, 24, and 5. Now, let's look at it more. If by striking one's eye, does it make sense if we take it very, very literally? And we say, well, if someone loses their eye, should we go take somebody else's eye out? Does that make any sense?
That's what it sounds like, but
all right.
I don't know it if it makes sense.
It sounds like that, doesn't it? And if someone loses their foot, it sounds like we should then cut their
foot.
And what good's going to do for the first person who lost a foot to get the other person's foot? Doesn't
no
make
good
any
at
sense.
All.
It's frankly silly. It's not well thought out.
Right.
Let's look at it more carefully. If by striking one's eye, would the punishment be to take the other person, the attacker's eye out as an eye for an eye? If they got struck in the mouth and 3 1/10 teeth are knocked out, do you then find the exact other tooth of the other person and be hyper-literal and take out the exact number of teeth and the right ones? That doesn't do anybody any good, does it?
No.
So, what do we do? What if that person had dentures? I mean, now you're in trouble, right?
Yes.
I mean, what are you going to do? So we have to say, well, you know, but people have used this here. Still, they killed my mother. I'm going to go kill theirs. So we have to look further, all right? Now, that's the trouble with not really understanding what the Bible is saying. So what do we do with such how do we understand such difficulties? Well, the answer is just to keep reading.
Right.
The next verses. I'm going to read the two verses in Exodus 21 we read before, and then God gives us two cases from which to understand it. Now listen carefully. Exodus 21, verses 24, 5, 6, and 7. All right? And if a man strikes the eye of his male or female slave and destroys it, he shall let him go free on account of his eye. So if they lose their eye, do we take out their eye?
No.
We let them go?
Free.
Exactly. That's equal measures. God's telling us what an eye for an eye means. That's why we don't take a text out of context and make a pretext out of it, which is a rule of English, far more so biblically. Verse 27, and, which is a conjunctive, meaning it's joined to what went on before. Exodus 21, we're in verse 27. And if he knocks out a tooth of his male or female slave, he shall let him go free on account of his tooth. So wait a minute. You knock out an eye. Do you take the other eye?
No, you don't.
The attacker? No, you let them go?
Free.
If the person loses a tooth, in this particular case, how does the judge adjudicate if a tooth is lost of the slave? They let them go?
Free.
Exactly. That God tells you how to judge, and you judge his way. One of the terms for judges in the Hebrew scriptures actually is the term Elohim.
Mm-hmm.
And it means God.
Yes.
It's not that they are God. That's heresy. But because they had the word of God in their mouth, they would speak for God as God's men and women in places of authority, male and female, functioned as judges. Okay? Very clear. And they were in that position of power representing God. Okay. Now, so these are divine judgments. All right? This is divine justice. All right? Now, these judgments, starting in Exodus 21:1, now these are the ordinances which you are to set before them. So the first verse to set the tone for that whole chapter tells us, God tells Moses, this is what you give to the judges. So now we're understanding what that means, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So these are guidelines for judgment, for functioning. These guidelines for judgment function and serve as a formula for compensation, which involves the principles of equivalence.
Joel, it seems to me an eye for an eye, a tooth for tooth has, it seems to me we should go for revenge. Happens to, if something happens to me and I'm feeling really angry, where's the revenge? Or is that part of the Bible?
It's a good point. It is, and it will address that in short order because it's a great question and it fits exactly with this topic. So keep that in mind.
I know revenge is not a good thing to even think of, but you need to explain that to me.
Sure.
Where do I feel justified?
Okay, we'll be happy to. That's going to come up. Let's bring this to a point, but keep remembering that because we're going to address that for everyone here. Now, the guidelines we just went over for judgment function and serve as a formula for compensation, which involves the principle of equivalence. I'm going to quote a wonderful scholar, Dr. Walter Kaiser Jr., all right, from page 74 from a book he wrote among many called Hard Sayings of the Old Testament. All right, quote, "This principle comes under the heading of restitution, not retaliation." Okay? Mm-hmm. "That the compensation was to fit the damages, no more and no less. In fact, while some have thought that this text condones excessive retribution, it actually curbed all retribution and any personal retaliation among Israel's citizens." So it set a limit for mm-hmm. that. So revenge, you know, God says, "Vengeance is mine." All right? "Thus saith the Lord."
Right.
Now, Matthew 5, 39, which, remember, was where we started with this, and we went back to look at what? Where that came from. What was the origin point of what Jesus was quoting from his own word, being God in the flesh, Jesus the Christ? All right? Now, 539a, remember, Jesus the Christ is, not his last name. It's his office, all right? Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach. Mashiach is anointed. HaMashiach is a definite article, the anointed one, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's Jesus, the anointed one, all right? "Resist not evil," Matthew 5:39a. Well, a lot of people have taken this even to great areas of pacifism, right?
Yes.
Don't resist evil. So when evil shows up in town, what do some people do? They just...
do nothing.
Nothing. And then evil continues to go on a rampage because good people... There's a saying in the philosophy circles that goes like this. Evil succeeds when good people do...
nothing.
Yeah, when good people do nothing. So we have... And some, even Tolstoy has quoted this here. Gandhi, great figures, but misunderstanding of what this means in the original, in Jewish thought, in the mind and heart of Yeshua, in the biblical context, in Jewish writings, so we can understand the words, so well-meaning people don't get wrong directions and end up on the wrong street, even though sincere, they're sincerely wrong. So let's look at it so we can apply our sincerity to truth and be truthful and sincere at the same time. 539a. All right. We're back in Matthew. 539a, "But I say to you," and Jesus is the speaker, "but I say to you, do not resist him who is evil." All right, that's the first part of the verse. Now, this text has contributed to a high degree of wrong thinking and thus to follow wrong action. Because we didn't translate it in its biblical context, we find that people have taken it the wrong way. So let's say to the ones who have ears, let them hear. This term, "resist not evil," is best understood as a Hebrew proverb, okay? As seen in other pearls on a string. Now, there's a term, have you ever heard the term pearls on a string?
Yes.
Okay? What that means, let's tell the listener what that means.
Okay.
Pearls on a string, each pearl represents a concept or a verse. So, in understanding a verse, you would string, meaning a common thought or idea or concept, along that string would be all these verses. So each one would support, define, extend, and give you the length and the depth, the length and the width and the height and the depth of a topic so you can really get the full impact and see how it really plays out, okay? You need to put on both shoes, all right? Having one good shoe mm-hmm. on is great, but you're supposed to walk with two, all
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So it's seen, let's go to Proverbs 24:29, and I'll quote it. "Say not, I will," this is what you were talking before, Daniel, about revenge. Listen
right.
to what God says through the wisest man.
Okay.
"According to the flesh," and Jesus Christ is in his own category. He's God.
Yeah.
Now, of humankind, only human, this is Solomon. Proverbs 24:29, "Say not, I will do so to him as he has done to me. I will render to the man according to what he has done." That's the revenge.
Right.
And the beginning says, "Say not." Don't say, "I will do to him as he's done to me." Right? "I will render to the man according to what he's done to me." He said, don't say that. Then in Psalm 37, and I enjoin you to read the whole psalm for context. We'll look at verse 1 and verse 7 for a moment, okay? But the goal is to look at it all, study it all, and in the length and constraints of time of radio, I just enjoin you to use this people as a stimulus to motivate you to go to the depths. And in our tape series and Other things we have, you'll hear about later on the web. You can go and get the tapes. We do this hour after hour in such great depth, and you have that great function on your audio cassette called rewind. So you can rewind it as much as you need. You can take a break and stretch, get some air, do some exercise, please, and come back and study it again. In Psalm 37, verses 1 and 2, let's turn there together. All right. Look at the first two verses. Do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. The first part, do not fret because of evildoers, is al titchar. Now that's Hebrew. Al titchar. Titchar comes from the term chara. And in the lexicon or the Hebrew study, this term about fret means to burn, be kindled, of anger, incensed, vexation, contend, strive eagerly. Now, remember always the big picture. Listen to that. Don't fret. Don't be angry. Don't be incensed. Don't be vexed because of evildoers. Remember what Jesus said? Resist not him who is evil, right? But that's a Hebrew idiom. Now we're going to death, so we understand what he's saying. The people memorized the whole Bible at this time. They knew he would lift a word or phrase out and tell people, and instantly in their mind they would have a kaleidoscope of verses and understandings. They wouldn't need a concordance. They were a concordance. So when he mentioned something, they knew what he meant. They knew what he was saying. 20, 30, 40, 100 verses would explode in their mind, all linked. They'd understand them. They studied since they're 5. They memorized it by teens or 21. They knew the Bible. And so he was speaking to them. When we hear something, what do we often do? And we have to be honest, people. Often we may read back our culture. Our thinking, our Western or whatever part of the world you may be listening to and understanding, and isogetically read into it just where we sit. That's not fair. It's not fair to do that to anyone today. It's not fair to do it, especially in a biblical world, or else we're going to miss much of what Jesus meant and said and did. Okay? So let's look again. Now, do not fret because of evildoers. Don't be envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither like the grass and fade like the green herb. They ain't going to be here anymore. They're going to wither, right? They're going to be out of here, all right? Now, remember always the big picture. God is telling you don't what? Worry. Don't what?
Don't worry, don't fret.
Don't worry, don't fret, okay? Why? Because Satan and those of darkness will be overthrown. The present world order and world systems and kingdoms will be shattered, spiritual forces of wickedness thrown out, and all of them forever cut off to dwell in hell forever and ever. All right? Mm-hmm. We don't take joy in that, but that is justice justly administered. So we don't fret, worry, get angry, be vexed, get incensed because of evildoers. Why? They're not going to be here. They're not going to last.
Right.
Thus saith the Lord. Right?
Right.
Therefore, we can regard them with indifference, meaning their actions, because that indifference is going to arise in us from an eternal security in God, in the promises of God.
What does this mean, indifference? Treat them with indifference.
No, you're not to fret because of what they do. They are evil. Indifference means we're not going to feed into the system. We're not going to let it get us angry. We're not going to let it get us vexed. We're not going to contend against an evil person. We're doing evil in response. I'll develop it out for you, okay? See if this answers the question in a moment. Therefore, we regard with indifference that arises one from an eternal security in God and the promises of God, in which the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Messiah, who reign forever and ever. Revelation 11:15. The kingdom of God will be fully realized and will all know the Lord, from the greatest of them to the least of them. And the knowledge of the Lord will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. I'm going to mention another part, Danielle, and see if that question's still there. We'll address it. When a kingdom of God is fully realized, then all that is not the kingdom will not be. So let's remember, according to God's promise, we're looking for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, we don't worry because of evildoers, okay? We don't worry because of what they're doing. We do not fret because of evildoers. We're not to be revengeful because of the evil of evildoers, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we are to love our enemies, have mercy on those who are doubting, save others, snatch them out of the fire, and on others have mercy with fear, hating even a garment polluted by flesh, as Jude records. Okay, is that making more sense?
Yes.
Great. Proverbs 20:22, quote, do not say, I will repay evil, but wait. Wait, I'm adding on. Wait. Do what?
Wait.
Exactly. Wait on the
Lord.
Exactly. Wait on the Lord and he will save you. Often we're trying to save ourselves.
Right.
That doesn't work for any of us there. We're going to be judge, we're going to be jury, and we're going to take the place of it all. God doesn't want that. He says, that's my affair. You wait on me. Wait on who?
Lord.
And he will save you. Okay? Good. Now, let's continue. Scholar Brad Young put it this way. This is his translation. Where's our core text again? Matthew 5, 38 and 39a, for those just tuning in, and to keep us all on the page together. Matthew 5, 38, 39. Now, he translates it, he's a very good scholar, this way. For resist not an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, there's the whole verse, turn to him the other also. Now, this is his translation, quote, don't compete with an evil person.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to fight evil with evil, but believe in the good. So you don't compete with the evil person by doing evil. In return, don't try to fight evil with evil. Believe in the good. Believe in the good. So remember what we were saying before about the big picture. What? All of these kingdoms of this world that are not of God is going to go. All right? Now, remember where it says to slap someone on the right cheek and
right.
then turn to him and give him the other cheek also?
Yes.
Why is that important? All right? The cheek slapping was considered in the Mideast a great insult, even more than punching somebody. All right? Why? Because it was an attack against the person's character.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So, the fact that the slap on the cheek was considered an insult and a character assault, that would be, it was considered on damages in Jewish law, that a person would have to pay more
right.
for that than if the person was physically harmed. Well, of course, there's damages for that too, all right? So, in a fight, a physical blow has its own consequences, but the slap is going to continue because of the insult to the person's character. So Yeshua is speaking from the heart. All right? There's a person, he's bruised. You'll look to respond with love and compassion and action to the one who hurts out of hurt, to the one who causes pain because of pain, to the evil, contentious one lost in darkness. They're shouting at you out of their darkness. Our job is not to shove them back in the dark, but and give them more darkness, but bring them out by mm-hmm. giving them a helping hand, not an accusing finger, bringing them truth and love, forgiveness and the good instead of hate, hardness, and evil.
Joel, you made the point that people usually hurt out of their own hurt. Is
yes.
that usually the case?
It's a good question. That's very common. And I think if we look deeper inside what happens, a lot of people are wearing scars on the inside. We usually see people, of course, with scars on the outside, and it takes a lot of compassion and care to connect with someone's scars on the inside. A lot of people are bound, but not with ropes on the outside, but with binding chains on the inside in their mind and body, and they're acting out of that. That's not an excuse, but it's an understanding, okay? It allows us to work with them in such a way that we have to remember, as you've put very well to me just recently, Danielle, that revenge keeps hurting. I think that's marvelous. That's a word from God. Revenge keeps hurting. So when we know better, we should do better. And our job is not to return evil for evil, but return good for evil. All right? And then we're going to address on the next show how to understand this deeper about resist not evil. And we'll take that up in a second part for this series, part 2 on Matthew 5, 38 and 39a.